Hello, this is Wendy Bauer reading to you today from the Decatur Herald and Review, October 31st, 2016. And we'll begin on the front page with an article by Tony Reed, Get Your Fright On with Pena Creature Business. The trouble with regular zoology is that familiarity tends to breed contempt. You know, the kind of things, lions and tigers and bears, oh yawn, been there, seen that. But on this supernatural day, when our thoughts peer into dark corners in search of the frightening and the exciting, it's fitting to take a walk on the cryptozoological wild side. Cryptozoology literally means the study of hidden critters, and most of them are not things you would want to bump into at night. Or in the middle of the afternoon, for that matter. But now you can take a fully articulated 8-inch-high plastic version home with you, thanks to a new Pena-based business called Creature Replica. They have come up with a nightmare crew of monsters to darken the brightest day. The lineup includes American perennial favorite Bigfoot, along with various regional siblings, plus the Himalayan Yeti and a truly scary werewolf from the swamps of Louisiana, known locally as the Rougarou. Fleshing out the cast is a pure fantasy werewolf-like nasty called the Horror Hound, named in honor of a website dedicated to fans of everything scary. Perhaps the most disturbing thing about the Yeti and Bigfoot and the Rougarou is they come down to us out of local legends, stories, and whispered sightings some say are based on truth. All very easy to dismiss until you take a wrong turn and find yourself alone at night in a Louisiana swamp or some vast tract of Arkansas forest. Terror addicts will get the full flavor of what might be out there awaiting them by picking over Creature Replica's intricate creations. Each based on meticulous research into legends, sightings, and stories, they are accurate down to the last fang and claw, and also fully articulated with 18 to 22 movable bits so joyful buyers can pose their feet, head, arms, legs, bodies, and extraordinarily buff physiques. It's abundantly clear that whatever people these things are supposed to have been dining out on, they must have been very low in fat. Jeff Byers, also slim and trim, is one of the key players in Creature Replica. A man for all seasons, he's got a background in graphic arts and works as a real estate appraiser and heavy equipment operator by day. His spare time passion, however, is cryptozoology. Some years ago, he became friends with a New Jersey-based sculptor called Jean St. Jean, one of the acknowledged masters of the art of the terrifying. Byers went out to see him and chewed over his passion for creating a new line of action figures that would be as accurate to their legends as it was inhumanly possible to get. With Gene's working knowledge of all that is Sasquatch and Bigfoot, all I had to do was reference the stories and the folklore, recalls Byers, 48. Gene already knew where we were headed with it. He's now the artist who creates all the model prototypes while working with buyers and business partners at Creature Replica to finesse design details and come up with suitable color schemes. The full Creature Replica business partnership now includes Byers' brother-in-law, Craig Deer, a banker, as is the fourth member of the team, Nick Epley. They bring financial expertise to the always scary business of launching a company, but are seeing light at the end of their productive development tunnel. We are ready to rock and roll, says Deer, 47, who deals with monsters at night and by day is chief financial officer with People's Bank and Trust. I thought this was a great opportunity to get in on the ground floor on something that could blossom into something big. Logistics delays and obstacles saw them ready to go only a week before Christmas in 2015, which slowed sales. Now, with shelves full of Monsters stored in the coolers of a former frozen chicken distributor's plant, they are anticipating inventory really taking wing this holiday season. In the meantime, the Erie entrepreneurs have been tearing up the highways coast to coast, attending everything from Bigfoot seminars to toy shows, showing off their fearful family to suitably impressed fright fans. The figures cost between $35 and $40, and Deere says buyers have tended to be adult collectors, but he believes their cryptids, to use the trade term, will roar their festive appeal to children too, and anticipates creature replica critters will be entombed in wrapping paper under a lot of Christmas trees by December 24th. Byers says the young and the young at heart will discover they get a lot of scare for their buck. "We've made it darn near impossible to surpass us in quality," he added, eyeing the pint-sized beast like a proud father with his children. Perhaps the most surprising thing about the denizens haunting the cryptozoological nightscape is Byers' theory about why so many folks are interested in them, spending their hard-earned money on books and movies and eagerly gobbling up every bit of their stories. "It's almost like an escape from all the horrible stuff in the world right now," he explains. "People can go to conferences about these creatures and, for a little bit, they get to turn back into a kid again and fill up with wonder." And the sidebar says, ready to bring home a wee nightmare? You'll find the full selection of Creature Replica's monster lineup waiting for you at creaturereplica.com. And this is accompanied by several photographs. The first showing two men posing with a number of the creatures, Jeff Byers left and Craig Deere of Pena Own Creature Replica, a company that sells cryptozoological action figures. Two of the figures shown up close include the Louisiana Rougarou and the North American Sasquatch. And finally, Jeff Byers is standing in front of a Sasquatch poster that was displayed at a Creature Replica exhibit at a convention. And also from the front page, gun law allies see vote hope. The last time voters in Maine were asked about gun rights, they easily passed a constitutional amendment creating a right to own firearms that shall never be questioned. 3 decades later, the state, known for its hunting tradition, will vote on whether to tighten restrictions on gun sales and transfers. Maine, along with California, Nevada, and Washington, will decide November 8th whether to enact tougher firearms laws. In a change from past elections, there are no statewide initiatives seeking to expand gun rights anywhere in the United States. The presence of so many ballot questions in the same year reflects strategy, growing power, and deep pockets of gun control supporters who are outspending opponents in all 4 states. They hope passage of the proposals shows widening support for more measures designed to keep firearms away from dangerous people. In Maine and Nevada, a group founded by former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg has spent millions advocating for background checks on nearly all gun sales and transfers. Supporters want to close gaps in the federal system that allows ineligible felons, domestic abusers, and the mentally ill to buy firearms from private sellers at gun shows and online without a background check. "I do call it a movement. People are really getting fed up with all the violence," said Judy Richardson, 57, of South Portland, Maine, who gathered signatures to help place the initiative on the ballot. Her 25-year-old daughter, Darian, was fatally shot in 2010 during a home invasion that remains unsolved. The investigation hit a dead end because the handgun used to kill her was bought without a background check from a seller who told police he did not know the buyer's name. Richardson said the main initiative would help reduce gun violence by making firearms harder to access and easier to trace. In Washington state, advocates who successfully campaigned for a background check law in 2014 are now seeking passage of a measure that would allow judges to issue orders temporarily seizing guns from people who are deemed a threat. For instance, concerned families could seek the removal of guns from relatives threatening to harm themselves or others. California's Democratic Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom is leading the campaign for a first-of-its-kind law that would require anyone buying ammunition to pass a background check and obtain a state permit. Gun safety groups say a Democratic sweep that includes a White House victory and party gains in Congress would put pressure on federal lawmakers to strengthen the national background check system. Congress has blocked attempts to create universal background checks even after the fatal shooting of 20 elementary school students in Newtown, Connecticut, in December 2012. That prompted groups such as Bloomberg's Every Town for Gun Safety to focus on a state-by-state strategy, often compared to the strategy used to spread gay marriage. Supporters organized the initiatives in Maine and Nevada after the state's Republican governors in 2013 vetoed background check bills approved by their legislatures. Every town is the largest spender in those states, assembling coalitions that include concerned parents, families of gun violence victims, and law enforcement officials. Opponents say the measures will not stop criminals and go too far by banning the routine sale and transfer of guns between law-abiding citizens, who would have to drive to a firearms dealer and pay for a background check that can cost $30. "It's a restriction on the freedom of the good guys," said 75-year-old Charles Rumsey III of Bangor, Maine, secretary of the Penobscot County Conservation Association, which is opposing the initiative in that state. The retired Defense Department employee recently borrowed a rifle from a longtime acquaintance after his malfunctioned so he could compete in a shooting event. He worries that such a transfer would be illegal without a background check. The Maine and Nevada initiatives would require anyone buying or receiving a gun to pass a background check at a federally licensed dealer, with limited exceptions for hunting and transfers of guns between family members. Anyone who has a felony or disqualifying domestic abuse conviction would be denied, as required by federal law. Rumsey said the possible effects are not well understood and that questions are getting drowned out by the safety message of supporters. The National Rifle Association is financing opposition efforts in Nevada and Maine, but has spent far less than supporters of NRA, or far less than supporters. NRA spokeswoman Jennifer Baker said the states were carefully selected because they were electorally advantageous for gun control supporters. In a photograph accompanying the article, former Arizona Congresswoman Gabby Giffords and Governor Jay Inslee fist bump at a rally in Seattle in support of an initiative that would allow family members and law enforcement officials to petition a judge to temporarily suspend a person's access to firearms if the court finds that he is a threat to himself or others. From the local page, article by Ryan Voiles, a Herald and Review staff writer, Mount Zion seeks residents' voice on recycling. Residents of Mount Zion have their chance to provide input on the direction of the village's recycling program. Village officials have created an online survey to ask people about their views on the system and whether they would be open to a program such as Decatur's, where residents and businesses are provided their own recycling carts with lids that are easy to roll out to the curb. "When you're a municipality, you hear people say they want their voices heard, and this is a way for people to do that," said Village Administrator Julie Miller. The survey, which residents can fill out anonymously at mtzion.com, asks respondents about their current recycling use, whether they find the current program adequate, or if they would be open to an expanded program. In the case of expansion, respondents are asked whether they would support paying an additional monthly fee of up to $3 to support a new program, and whether they would want fee attached to their garbage or water bill. Changes to the current recycling program have been discussed for nearly 2 years. As Miller said, one of the most common things asked by new or prospective residents is whether the village has a recycling program similar to Decatur, Bloomington, and other municipalities. The village currently provides smaller, lidless bins for residents to use for recycling, but residents have complained that they're used to the larger bins provided by Decatur. In addition, the lack of lids on the current bins has led to floating debris in the neighborhoods. But to upgrade the program, the village would need to raise about $100,000 to purchase and maintain the recycling bins, a cost neither the garbage haulers or the village are too keen to pay. Since the survey went online on October 6th, Miller said almost 200 residents have filled it out. The hope is that at least 400 residents, or about 20% of the total households in the village, complete it by Thanksgiving, allowing Miller the rest of the year to analyze the results and to propose changes for board approval. If the village decide to go in a new direction with its recycling program, Miller said it will not occur until next spring at the earliest. Miller suggested residents who do not have access to the internet can fill out the survey at the village library or at the village hall. Those who do the survey will have to list their street name to validate their residency, and the survey can only be filled out once per internet address. Next, Tony Reed brings an article from Decatur. Milliken decks the halls with costumes, candy. Wearing an off-the-shelf number, Kiara Rydell stole the show Sunday afternoon at Milliken University's Halloween in the Halls event. Trick-or-treaters from 2 to 14 were invited to fill their candy buckets on escorted trips through the school's dormitories, and most kids, plus many accompanying parents, had put a lot of effort into their costumes, but few could match 9-year-old Kiara, who was dressed as a pretty Barbie doll still inside her elaborate cardboard packaging. Kiara explains that going all out with homemade costumes has long been a tradition with her Decatur family. "Ever since I was age 0," she announced proudly. Little sister Cabrin, too, held up her end of the family costume honors by dressing as TV star Pamela Anderson from Baywatch. "Show them your run," said the girl's mom, Brianna, and Cabrin, in a big wig and red swimsuit, did a very credible version of the slow-motion beach dash. Brianna Rydell, also accompanied by the girl's grandma, Miguela Riley, said this was their first visit to the Milliken event, and she felt the college deserved the family's best costumed efforts for being so generous. "I just think it's great they are offering something for the community that's safe for the kids," she added. "We were looking for activities to do as a family for Halloween and saw this on Facebook." The tradition of throwing open the college campus for 4 hours of trick-or-treating dates back 16 years and has become one of Milliken's most popular community outreach efforts. Organized by the Student Housing Council, students spend days decorating their halls and even got some help from elementary students at Dennis School, which has a special partnership with Milliken as a lab school that sees frequent classroom visits going both ways. "Milliken takes pride in working with the community," said Nicole DeLiberis, Residential Communities Coordinator. "We like to bring people here to our turf to see our college students and to give them something fun to do on Halloween weekend." Students-led groups of trick-or-treaters on the residence hall tours, and there was a choice of scary and non-scary visitations, which is handy, given the youngest campus visitor was just 6 weeks old. Deliberus estimated the school had hosted several hundred children, and while they waited to fill their buckets with candy, she said they were kept busy with games, crafts, and activities. And the photos that accompany the article are Kiara Rydell costumed as a Barbie doll still in her box, along with her 2-year-old sister Cabrin dressed as TV star Pamela Anderson from Baywatch. And the second picture is Crystal Thomas, 12, who cut a dramatic figure in while skeletal makeup from The Nightmare Before Christmas. Another article, this one from Ashmore, Kids Peek at the Paranormal. It's the time of year when kids can have fun with ghost stories, but on Saturday, several children experienced what some call the real thing. The Ashmore Estates building has long been a place where investigators say they've been able to encounter the realm of spirits, and the event gave the youngsters an opportunity to learn how to look for them. Two St. Louis area paranormal investigation teams were at the 100-year-old building just west of Ashmore for the event. Part of the time was spent showing youngsters what they do and then letting them try it. Kids can't participate in most investigations and probably have no idea what they're actually like, said Ashley Burgoon of Riverbend Paranormal of the Alton area. We're trying to get kids interested in the paranormal, she said. There's a difference between what they see on TV and the real thing. And while there's a natural amount of skepticism about what Burgoon's team does, her response to that was typical of those in her field who are asked about its authenticity. Namely, let the doubters come see for themselves. It's one of those things you don't believe before you see it, Burgoon said. 20 kids, accompanied by about a dozen adults, took part in Saturday's activities, which also included a tour of Ashmore Estates. Riverbend Paranormal and the other investigation team, Limbo Paranormal of St. Louis, agreed to conduct the event for free if the proceeds from registration fees went to charity, Ashmore Estates owner Robin Terry said. Terry bought Ashmore Estates 2 years ago and has put in considerable effort to remove debris, add utilities, and do more to make it hospitable, if still spooky. Past plans by former owners went by the wayside over the years, and the most recent business use for Ashmore Estates was as a Halloween season haunted house attraction, before Terry bought it. Now, he said, he limits its use mostly to paranormal investigations and tours. It opened in 1916 as a what frequently was referred to as the former county poor farm, and was also the site of a facility for the mentally disabled. Paranormal investigators frequently say they experience the presence of two past residents in particular. A young girl who burned to death after her dress caught fire, and a caretaker who was hit by a train and died after he was brought back to Ashmore Estates. Terry said he's placed children's toys and other objects throughout the building that investigators say that can act as triggers to help them connect to spirits. An event aimed at children was appropriate because they sometimes see something that's just not there in adult minds, he said. The proceeds from Saturday's event went to the Lost Limbs Foundation, which helps children amputees get prosthetic limbs and make their homes more accessible. And a photograph accompanying this article, employee Hannah Watson, Background Center, gives a tour of Ashmore Estates. And now the A3 briefs for today. These are from the local page from Martinsville. ATV crash injuries. A Casey man was airlifted to a hospital early Sunday after Illinois State Police said he crashed his all-terrain vehicle on a rural road near Martinsville while driving under the influence of alcohol. Taylor Loftus, 21, was flown to Union Hospital in Terre Haute, Indiana, where an update on his condition was not available Sunday night. The crash happened at 2:34 a.m. on Clark County Road, 1400 North, 4 miles east of Martinsville. A passenger on the ATV, Shaylee Schaefer, 18, of Greenup, was taken to a hospital. Police say Loftus was eastbound when he lost control of the ATV, ejecting both himself and his passenger as the vehicle flipped over. He was cited for driving under the influence, improper operation of an ATV on a roadway, and failure to reduce speed to avoid an accident. From Decatur, rummage sale theft. A woman hosting a rummage sale told police a buyer she allowed into her home Friday evening to check out items for sale stole jewelry valued at $900. The jewelry, which was not part of the sale, was taken sometime between 6 and 6:30 p.m. from the 61-year-old woman's home in the 1600 block of East Decatur Street. From Charleston, EIU Job Fair. A teaching, school administration, and special services job fair will be 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Wednesday, November 2nd in the Grand Ballroom of Eastern Illinois University's Martin Luther King Jr. Union. Attendees should bring copies of their resumes. A list of participating schools and available jobs can be found at www.eiu.edu/careers/falleducationjobfair.php. For more information, contact Diane Smith at dksmith2@eiu.edu or call 217-581-8423. From Effingham, Head Start Grant. A $2,068,302 grant has been awarded to Head Start and Early Head Start programs in Christian, Clay, Effingham, Fayette, Montgomery, Moultrie, and Shelby counties. The award to CEFS Economic Opportunity Corporation came from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and was announced by U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois. From Decatur, Cross Country. The Autumn Spectacular Cross Country Meet for kids 18 and under will be held in Fairview Park at 1:30 p.m. on Sunday, November 6th. Check-in for races, 2,000 meters and 4,000 meter courses, will be at 12:30 p.m. and a guided course tour will begin at 1 p.m. Entry fee is $6 in advance or $10 on race day. Participants don't have to be a member of a school cross-country team to participate. Awards will be given to the top finishers, and everyone will receive a participation ribbon. This is a qualifying meet for the Cross-Country Coaches National Youth Championships. For more information, call the DISC at 217-429-3472. And we'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, October 31st, 2016. Please stay tuned.